Hi everybody, my name is Taras Lichuk. I'm a postdoctoral researcher with the Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in with the Brandon Research Center, which is located in Brandon, Manitoba. Today I will be talking about the evaluation of the EPIC model, Environmental Policy Integrated Model, in its accuracy to predict the crop of wheat, barley and canola based on a long-term rotation field experiment in the Canadian prairies. And here is a little background about the study. So the Alternative Cropping System, or the ACS study, was initiated in 1994 at the research Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada research farm in Scott, Saskatchewan, and it's noted here with the star. And it's a fairly unique study. It's one of those few existing field long-term field rotation agriculture input and cropping diversity combination of a long-term experiment. So the study completed its final cycle in 2013. So there were the study went in the chunks of a 6-year cycles, and originally they planned for the four episodes of 6-year cycles, but unfortunately they didn't get money to finalize the final 6-year cycle. So the study completed in 2013, the soil where the study was implemented was a coarse, loamy, textured, mesic, typic haploborrel. And this is the aerial view of the study. You can see two of the four replicates of the study, and I'll discuss the experimental design in a few moments in more details. So the overall objective of the study was to assess the interactions between agricultural inputs and cropping diversity on crop production and soil and environmental quality and sustainability in Canadian prairies. And the study consisted of a 3x3 matrix of treatments. There were three levels of agricultural inputs, namely organic, reduced, and high. And similarly, there were three levels of cropping diversity, the low diversity, diversified annual grains, and diversified annual perennials. And these combinations of input and diversity were applied to crops in a 6-year rotation cycle. And here is a breakdown of the input levels. So the organic input system, there were tillage was used for crop and weed management. No fertilizer were used. And similarly, no pesticides or herbicides were used under this level. On the reduced level, there was a minimum number of tillage operations. Herbicides were used for weed management, and fertilizer were used based on the soil test and yield goals. And for the high input level, this input level was based on conventional recommendations, and it used a whole swing of tillage, fertilizer, herbicide, and pesticides application under this input level. So for the cropping diversity, the low cropping diversity was based on intense cropping system using wheat and green manure fallow. Am I blocking?
Sorry.
The diversified annual grains was a combination of the wheat, barley, fall rye, and canola. And the diversified annual perennial was a combination of alfalfa, wheat, mustard, barley, and canola. And here is the experimental design in the field. You can see four replicates, and the input is the main fixed effect, and it's noted with the first three letters of the in the acronym. And diversity is actually nested in the input as a random effect, and it's followed by the final three letters in the acronym. I'd like to say a few words about the annual precipitation trends during the study, because that it will be important when I discuss the results of the simulation study. So there was a During this study, we had extremely dry years and extremely wet years. The 2005 and 2010 were extremely wet. 2010 was wettest on record since 1912. This dashed line here is the 30-year climate normal for this area, which is 366 millimeters. So you see there was a whole range of precipitation dynamics during this field experiment. So we used the Environmental Policy Integrated Climate Model, or the EPIC model, and updated it with the relevant information on tillage, weather, crop management operations from this study. And the objective of this particular modeling study was to evaluate model with its, in terms of its accuracy, to accurately simulate the yields of wheat, barley, and canola, and to make a decision whether this model may be used as a decision tool on agricultural productivity and management in the region. So we used, as I said, we use the EPIC model, Environmental Policy Integrated Climate Model, and I'll talk a little bit about the model. Originally, this model was created back in 1984, and the name of the model back then was Erosion Productivity Impact Calculator. And it was developed by a team of USDA scientists to simulate erosion, crop production, and related processes. And since the year of its inception, the model has been updated and improved every year. And over the past decades, EPIC has been successfully used in many simulation studies in different regions of the world under different climates and soils in many countries, including Canada, United States, China, Italy, and many others. And just this past month, I ran a quick search on the Scopus database, and it produced me about 540 journal articles that use EPIC model, and which totaled more than 10,000 citations. So it's shows that it's a fairly popular model to use in the modeling studies. And here is a simplified diagram of the EPIC model. So the model uses the concept of radiation use efficiency, and the crop biomass is calculated based on the amount of the daily photosynthetically active radiation intercepted by crop canopy. And there are three main components: the weather component, that includes a daily, and it's a daily time step model. Okay, so the model the weather component includes daily wind, precipitation, solar radiation, temperature, and relative humidity. The soils component include a whole range of variables on chemical and physical properties of soil. And the operational component includes the timing and rates of fertilizer, the dates and the intensity of tillage operation, as well as crops, crop growth in the simulation. So used several approaches to compare the accuracy between the simulated and experimental yields that we observed in the study. And we used linear regression and coefficient of determination, root mean square error of prediction, and the D-index. We used the paired sample t-test to compare annual and long-term simulated and experimental yield. We removed the data for 2005 and 10 from the analysis, and I'll discuss it later in a few moments, due to the those years being very wet and the model didn't predict very well the results. And I'll discuss it later. So this diagram here shows the result, compares the annual dynamics of wheat yield, and you can see wheat yield on the y-axis, and years are shown on the horizontal line. The experimental yield is shown with a solid line, and simulated yield is shown with a dashed line. So you see the model was fairly accurate in predicting annual dynamics in wheat yield, except for the years 2005 and 2010. And this slide here shows the regression of the simulated yield over experimental yield based on the combination of each agricultural input by cropping diversity. So R square was 0.47, and we had 267 observations over all those 19-year period. And this table here shows the comparison of the long-term average wheat yield between experimental and simulated yield. So you see for the input and diversity treatment combinations, the differences were not significant for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 treatment, 7 combinations out of 9, as well as for the grand average across all levels of input and diversity. And the differences between experimental and simulated yield were significant under organic input low cropping diversity and organic input diversified annual perennials. And this similarly corresponded to the greatest error and lowest R-square and lowest D index. This diagram shows the annual dynamics in barley yield. Similar to the wheat, you can see that the differences are high in the years of 2005 and 2010. And this diagram here shows regression of the simulated yield over experimental yield. We have less observations for barley because barley was not grown in the low diversity input under any of the input systems. And it's also the R-square is lower than R-square for wheat. And this table compares the experimental and simulated yield based on each combination of input and diversity. You see again that the two significant are organic input diversified annual grain and organic input diversified annual perennials. For all other combinations and the grand average, the model satisfactorily predicted long-term yield. Now, the final results slide on canola, you see that the differences here are visually significant between for the years 2005, 7, 10, 12, and 13. And the R-square is lower than the wheat, than the R-square for wheat, 0.44, and also lesser number of observations for canola. And this table similarly compares the long-term average yield between experimental and simulated values. So you see that two significant combinations are organic input diversified annual perennial or a reduced input diversified annual perennial. And for all other combinations, the model satisfactorily predicted yield. So the main conclusion that we make is that the model accurately simulated long-term yield trends, but was weak at predicting annual variation in crop yield. And so why did we observe the discrepancies between experimental and simulated yield? And it's primarily due to the factors that the model was not designed to account for. The first one is the terrain attributes in the field, such as slope and microtopography. Tomorrow I will be discussing the effects of terrain attributes and growing degree days, growing season precipitation, how they affected the yield in this study. But unfortunately, in this model, the model does not take into account the microtopography in the field. Similarly, there was a soil variability in the field. There was uneven distribution of precipitation, extremely dry and wet years. Extreme weather conditions were such as flood, hail, very intense rainfall, which in some years there was no yield, but the model would still, there was no yield due to hail, but the model would still simulate the crop growth because it didn't, it couldn't take into account the damage from the from hail. And there was also damage to crops from residual herbicides used for weed control. Two other factors. The first one is the model overestimated available nitrogen under organic input system. And the final one is that during those 19 years of the study, about 21 crop varieties were grown, but we use the generalized crop parameters in the simulations because this greatly facilitated the analysis. So the three main conclusions are that the model accurately simulated long-term yield but was weak at predicting annual variation in crop yield. The parameters for control of soil hydrology and water use by plants should be adjusted, and similarly, the nitrogen model subroutine should be updated in order to better simulate nitrogen mineralization under low nitrogen input systems. And I'd like to acknowledge the following individuals for their help in performing this study. And I'm also thankful for financial support through a postdoctoral fellowship for me from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. With that, I'd like to thank you for your attention. Please let me know if you have questions.